Stacy, her Thrive ministry. That looks awesome. I saw the logo today and the whole thing. She's still in here. She go next door. Her brother's speaking next door. So I'm sure she went over there. But it looks terrific. I encourage all the moms. There'll be more information coming. So get involved in that. And then I want to say this too. I want to move right into the Word tonight a little bit. But I want to say this. There's something happening. There's something happening in this ministry. I've been around the church all my adult life, and I can tell you that I've come into church at certain points, at certain times, and said, God, what are you doing? Because I'm bored. Because I don't feel anything. I don't sense anything. And so you go through them seasons. You go through those times where you're desperate. You want God to do something. You've never felt that way, have you, Pastor Pat? Come here just a minute. This is one of my fathers, and I'm so thankful to have people that speak into my life. This is Pastor Pat Wilson from, I always butcher this, South Alabama, Oakfield, Alabama Baptist. Say hello.
Hi. It's a... Thank you. Yeah, it's been great getting to know Ryan and seeing God work in his life. And when I saw he was speaking tonight, I said, I got to come and support my brother and my friend. So praying for you as you share the word. And, yeah, what he just said, definitely true.
What did I say? You know, that it's short.
Yeah. You go through seasons. You go through seasons. And you feel this deadness. Do you know what I'm talking about, or am I just talking into the abyss? Right now, the city church is in a season of harvest. You can sense something. You can see something in the atmosphere that's happening in the spirits and in the lives of people all across this room. Now, let me just point it out by saying this. It's 80 degrees out tonight, okay? It's warm. It's a nice night. And I know there's some people here because... they're my friends, and they want to show support for me. But you're in God's house tonight on an 80-degree night because you're hungry for his word. And it's amazing. It is amazing because the longer you're around church, you get to almost to the point where you're sensing these happenings going on. We've had some terrific services, some awesome spirit-filled services. And you kind of get to the point where you're like, I don't really want to go, but I don't want to miss the night because something could be happening. So I want to speak that into the atmosphere of this room, that something is happening, something amazing is happening in the ministry of City Church. And I'm going to lead into a little bit of this by saying this. There will be people that are haters. There will be people that are jealous. There will be people that it doesn't quite sit right with. There'll be naysayers, and they'll talk. I felt in my spirit so strong today. Terry and I, my great friend Terry and I, were driving down the road, and I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, Ryan, you can't worry about what other people say. You can't worry about how they act. You have to continue in the work that I've called you to and put one foot in front of the other every morning and go bless someone. Go love someone. Because here's the trap that we get into. And this isn't even a part of my message, but I felt this in my spirit as I walked in here tonight. You can get so tied up in the way other people act that you can become the way they act. The very thing that you hate, you can become. And let me just say this. If you're reading a proverb a day, if you're reading your Bible, you won't talk about other people. Even if what you're saying is true, you won't talk about them. Because the word, if I hid in my heart that I would not sin against you, the word will get down in you. And when you go to say something, when you go to say, talk about someone, gossip, and even when it's not gossip, when it borders gossip, you'll go, no, I read that proverb this morning, and I can't say that. I read that proverb. I read Proverbs 7 this morning, and I can't look at her the way I want to look at her. Do you know what I'm talking about? So something's happening. Some of the guys are looking at me like, what's Proverbs 7? Go read it. But There's something happening in the atmosphere, and I want to encourage you, become a part of it. I had a terrific conversation with my friend Jen tonight before service, just talking, just building our faith, talking about things that are going on, and the conversation went along the lines, we just want to be a part of it. We want to be involved. Don't do it without me, Lord. Do it with me. Even if I'm not on the forefront, even if I'm not preaching, Lord, whatever season you've called me to, if you've called me to usher, if you've called me to serve in a certain area, I'll do whatever you want me to do, Lord. Just don't leave me out of it. So I speak that into this house, and I speak this into your spirit tonight, that something is happening in the atmosphere of City Church. Would you say amen? Amen. I love the gospel. I love the scriptures. If you know me, I tend to teach, preach, talk, whatever you want to say, out of a specific a parable or a story, a biblical story. And tonight's no different. And I want to encourage you. When I was coming up in church, when I'd hear these stories, I'd think to myself, this must be a fairy tale. This must be just a great story. This just must be something nice that's talked about. But this can't be real life. Let me encourage you, and I don't know, in my late 20s, it kind of clicked with me, that this is a life application, okay? The stories that are written in these scriptures, they're for you and I. These people have learned from these things. My father always used to tell us when we were kids, you can either learn from your pain, Ryan, or you can learn from your teachers. The scriptures are our teachers. So if you find yourself going through lots of pain, you're probably not digging just quite deep enough into your teacher here. Amen? Amen. It's a life application. This message tonight, and we all have a tendency to do this, but tonight I will tell you this is where my life is. I'm in an area of new ground. A little backstory on where I'm at in life right now. I was in the private sector for 15 years. I worked in a business, several different places in the car business, and love the car business. Love everything about the car business. The car business is business, okay? And I love business. I love everything about business. But I felt the Holy Spirit really pushing me when I turned 30. I'm 33 now. I felt the Holy Spirit at 30 years old say, I've set you apart for ministry. And I'm going, God, I'm 30. Why didn't you tell me that at 17? And Robin says, we knew that. The problem is, I didn't know that. And so I'm 30 years old. I'm really peaking in my career, in business, doing absolutely terrific. 30 years old. I'm sitting in a service similar to this, and I feel the Holy Spirit say, "You're gonna begin to transition out of that, and I want you to begin to make decisions based on going in a different direction in your life." And so I begin to do that. And I can tell you that it has not been easy, but I feel tonight, I feel right now in this season, and I said this to my wife many times over the past few months and close friends and family, I said, I feel at peace with where I am. Even though I don't know what's going to happen, I have no idea where I'll be in a year from now. I hope to be here serving. I hope to be here doing something, but I have no idea. I have no idea the end game. Well, what's your people say to you? What's your end game? You know, what's your plan? I don't know. I have no clue. But what I do know is I feel the Holy Spirit moving me in one direction, and I know to be out of the will of God and not to be doing what He's called me to, there's just a restless feeling. And I just got sick of that restless feeling, and here I am today. So this message, I pray that it speaks to your spirit. And I just a few things, but I want to share a little bit of scripture. I'm not going to be long tonight. My brother always says to me, "I'm going to pack a snack when you preach, Ryan." But tonight you won't need a snack. I promise you. That's just some brother humor. But when we came up in church, the preacher preached an hour, and for some reason I picked that up along the way, and I'm working at that. But Luke 8, 33, and don't click me off when I start to read this, because for some of you that don't have your nose in the scripture as much as you should because you're busy and because you got kids and because you got lots going on, don't shut me off, because as far-fetched as this might seem, I'm gonna by the working of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to make the text relevant to your life. And hopefully the text becomes relevant, and you can put yourself right in the text. So the text becomes you. You become the text. So don't shut me off right now. The demons went out of the man and entered the swine. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into a lake and drowned. When those who fed them saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went to see what had happened and came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind. And they were afraid. They also who had seen it told them by what means he had been demon-possessed was healed. And then the whole multitude of the surrounding region of the Gadareans asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. And he got into the boat and returned. And now the man from whom the demons had departed begged him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your own house and tell what great things God has done for you." Return to your own house and tell what great things God has done for you. And he went his way and proclaimed throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. Verse 39, once more. Return to your own house and tell what great things God has done for you. Lord, we just ask. We've been in lots of church services. We were the Thursday night crowd, Lord. We've heard lots of messages. We've heard Holy Spirit inspired messages, and we've heard other messages. We ask you in this moment that you would fall on this place in such a way that it would be evident, Lord, that you're in the midst of us. I ask you, Lord, to use me as a vessel. Father, we'll be careful to just point all this attention back to you. Let no flesh glory in your sight. But Father, all the glory be yours tonight. Speak to us. Open our hearts, Lord. Open our ears. In Jesus' name, amen. He went his own way and proclaimed throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. Has God done great things for you? You might not have been demon-possessed. You might still be. I don't know. But not this group. But God has done terrific things in our lives. I was riding down the road with Terry today. Again, we were just, coffee talk, I call it. And he said to me, he said, "Ryan, I got to the place in my life where I wanted one of three things to happen. I either wanted to die. I wanted to, is it okay that I share this? I either, thank God. I want to die. This is powerful. This struck me in such a way. I felt the Holy Spirit in my truck driving down the road. He said, I either want to die. I want to kill someone so they put me in prison and I never have to deal with life again. Or I want God to perform a miracle in my life. That is the type of witness that each of us have. It might not be that same story. You, again, like the legion in the scripture here, who's been demon possessed, and he then goes out through the city. You might not have a story exactly like him. I've been raised in church, and I even have a story. My parents are pastors, and I even have my own witness. I even have my own story that I can go and tell someone about. So I want you to think about that moment tonight. I want you to think about that happening in your life. And you say, Ryan, I'm waiting for that. You've already had one because you're here. But you can have more. So I want you to contemplate. What can I share? What great things has God done? Ephesians 4:27 says, "And do not give the devil a foothold." You ever heard that? When I came up in church, there was some churchisms, and this was one of those scriptures, and it was preached about in all kinds of contests. But the scripture literally means, do not let the enemy have a place in your stuff. And when I talk about stuff tonight, and because we name messages, I want to name this message A New Ground. And when I talk about your stuff and your ground and who you are and where you're at in life, I'm not talking about in a physical sense. I'm talking, it's a metaphor. It's in a spiritual sense. Where are you in life? Who are you in life? What is your imprint on life today? So what ground do you have? Where are you at in life? Do not give place to the enemy. Do you know the enemy wants a place in your life? He wants a place in your marriage. And there, I could go down so many rabbit holes on that, but you understand what I mean by that. He wants a place in your marriage. He wants a place in your kids. He wants a place in your physical house. He wants a place in your church. That's why we're going through this, the bait of Satan. We're learning right now that through offense in the church, that the enemy gets a foothold into the ministry, and we actually become irrelevant, okay? You come to church every week, and you can be irrelevant, okay? You can attend a church where people are mad and offended, and it's a bait of Satan. Powerful, powerful testimony in this workbook that we're going through, this book. Even if you can't attend, I've been in church my whole life, and I've been reading this book, and the Spirit of God keeps speaking to me about this offense, and I understand why, because I've seen it with my own eyes. I told the staff last week, I said, the crazy thing about being in church all your life and being around people in church is you read a book like this, and you go, oh, my God, remember this happened? Remember that happened? Remember this guy went through exactly what this is talking about? People giving the enemy a foothold in their life, in their mind, in their space, in their kids, in their marriages, in their homes, from thing to thing to thing. The enemy wants that. He wants to get, oh, just give me a little bit. Let me just have just a little bit. And then all of a sudden, it's running rampant. I'm watching people who are Christians, who have known the Lord for many years, and I made a little reference to this earlier, but they're trying to create division in the body of Christ, not even just in the church, but in the body of Christ, creating division, and you're looking, I'm looking on the sidelines, and tonight I happen to have the mic to say it, but trust me, I'm a vocal guy. And I'll say this. It's incredible to me that if you're reading the scripture and you have your Bible open, that you could even attempt to create division in God's house. It's incredible to me. It tells me you don't have your Bible open. Because back to the proverb, you read that proverb a day. Ron and I had a conversation. He started texting me, calling me. Oh my God. This is terrific. Yeah, it is terrific. It's manna from heaven. It's anointing power from heaven through the words of Jesus. So don't give the enemy a foothold. Your stuff, in your stuff. Do you understand what I mean by stuff? It's a metaphor. Your life. your sphere of influence. The people who, you know, I think of the music ministry. I always make that comparison. There's been people, I've come to the place at certain times in the ministry where I said, Lord, this dude is a better singer than me. He's a better worship leader than me. He's better than me. Let him have it. I went to my dad one time. I remember going to my dad and saying, this guy's terrific. Seriously, he's terrific. You should let him do X, Y, Z. And I was discouraged. I was jealous. I was mad. And I began to let the enemy have a foothold in my entire ministry. And there's people through, I'm honest enough to say it. Hey, I don't do it right all the time. Sorry. But I think we have to be keen to it. I think we have to be very careful not to give the enemy that foothold. In order to have ground, metaphor, stuff, metaphor, you have to have ownership. Sometimes our issue is we don't realize what we own. That God has given us authority, responsibility, ownership to things we've ignored. We have to pause and take a conscious look at what things, places, ground, people, organizations, callings that God has given us. You are having an impact on people. You're the first thing that came to my mind today when I was reading over my notes. I felt the Holy Spirit quicken me. You have more influence than you think you have. You have more imprint than you think you have. Look at this up here. You're going to share the gospel message with a community through dance. That's anointing power from heaven. That's when you get discouraged. You have to think back and go, this is my imprint. My wife in the kids ministry, that's a taunting text. Week in, week out, going up there, cleaning poopy diapers, you know, bottles, all that. That's not for me. But she does it. Think of the imprint, the authority that God has given her. And here's where we lose it. Here's where we get messed up. If we're not careful, we can get discouraged and give it all back to the enemy. How do you give that back to the enemy? Well, you just walk away. You're not fulfilling your calling. Oh, I'm sick of doing that. Let them take care of it. Or I've seen people do this, full-blown serving, volunteering the whole nine yards. You know what? The enemy begins to work so hard in their mind that they go, you know what? If I leave right now, I'm going to screw them. So that's why I'm going to do it. We're talking real stuff here tonight. I've seen this stuff happen. You're giving the enemy a foothold in what you've cried for, what you've sweat over, what you've worked for, and you're just going, here you go, devil. You can have it all back because you've given him a foothold in the ministry, in the authority that he's given you. Hello. Do you know that God is placing a growing authority over your life? Not my life. Not just my life. Oh, you know, he's the pastor's son. He's this. He's that. I might not be here tomorrow. I'm not promised tomorrow. You go to the doctor. The doctor tells you got 9 blood clots in your body. You're thinking, I might not be here tomorrow. That's life. God is placing a growing authority over you, the people who are sitting in this room. And if you don't recognize that, if you don't have spiritual eyes to go, you know what? God made me talk like this so I could minister to that group of people. If we don't have spiritual eyes to see that, we give it all back to the enemy. You have to recognize, you have to be keen, you have to be smart to your authority. What God has given you. Metaphor, ground, metaphor, stuff. Are you with me tonight? I've never been a fighting man. I'm a lover, not a fighter. I'm not prone to fighting unless you get into my stuff. I don't care what my neighbors do on their side of the fence. I don't care. They can cut their lawn down so it burns. They can paint their house purple. They can put ugly shutters on their house. I don't care what they do on their side of the fence. But if you come over to my side of the fence, what I have authority over, what I have responsibility over, what I have care over, and you start meddling in my business, I'm going to go, hold on a second. And we have to do that with the authority that we have in the spiritual realm. Not to be nasty. You know, there's my neighbor's dog poops in my lawn every single year. My wife said, "Man, I'm sick of that." I said, "Just leave it alone." Her husband died 3 years ago. I didn't know that. I was complaining, and one of our friends said, "Her husband died 3 years ago, just so you know that before you go over and say anything." And I thought to myself, great. Thank God you kept me from putting my foot in my mouth. A widow. A widow. But we have to take authority. We have to be responsible. We can't be nasty. We get that mixed up. Whatever we perceive to be ours, in the spirit, we should fight for. But what happens if you don't perceive it to be yours? Hallelujah. What happens if God gave you something and you have no idea that you've ignored what God has entrusted you? Could it be possible to be a landowner and not even know it? I can convey a deed of trust to you and you don't even know that you own it. Check me. I can give you something. You have no idea. God said, "I have given you the land to possess it." And I want to make you understand that you have way more stuff than you think you have. You have way more influence, way more authority, way more reach than you think you have. You have a greater region. You have a greater reach. More kids watching you than you think you do. "Oh, I can get away with this." No, you can't. These kids are watching you. You have adults watching you. How will he handle this? How will she handle that? Your reach is further than you think you have. You have more stuff, metaphor, than you think you do. Not in the natural. Get your mind off the natural. Not a house, not land, not money. You have a spiritual reach that you're not even aware of. That's why you have to be careful what you say and who you say it around. I'm talking effectiveness. I'm talking about people that you touch and reach and that God has put under your mentorship for you to have influence over. Maybe God has called you to be an encourager. There are people in this church that encourage the snot out of me. I'm telling you, when I walk in here, I look for him. Where is she? Where is he? Just to get encouraged. And you think about those people. I thought of you, Amy. You send me messages. And it's like, it's the perfect time. It's the perfect, like, I'll be frustrated. I'll be aggravated. All of a sudden, boom, there's Amy's message to me. Nothing goofy, nothing perverted, nothing. Now, I clarify that because there's a fine line between it. You are an encourager to me in a pure sense. Reaching out to me. "Hey, Rye, I just want you to know I love you. I think X, Y, Z." That is her gift. And here's my question, and I don't want you to answer it right now. Do you even realize that gift is being used in your life? Do you even realize that you have that reach? Because if you don't, Judy, you have the same gift. Where's Susie? Susie has the same gift. Susie texts me before service. I'm like, "Man, I love that." No, she's right here. This Susie. Yeah, she don't like poopy diapers either. John, encourager. Your wife, encourager. She'll come up to me with a Bible after. "Yeah, what you taught about." That's encouragement. That's a gift. That's a region. Are you getting what I'm saying to you? That is her stuff. That is his stuff. What is your stuff? Do you recognize the stuff that God has given you charge over? Man, that, I'll tell you, that deserves a way better amen than you just gave me. People like how you talk. They like how you interact. They like how you lead. God has made you in a certain way to influence only the way you can. Touch someone next to you and say, "You have some stuff." Touch them. Think about this. we let our discouragement and lack of initiative give our stuff back to the enemy? Do we at times get so frustrated that we hand everything back to the enemy and say, here's everything that I've given my life for? We are in a fight. We're in a fight for our ground. We're in a fight for our destiny, for our lives, for our kids, our church, our friends, our families, our ground. Most people don't understand that you have to fight. We've all been saved, but the problem is we are so worldly. We're so carnally thought processed that we say, well, things just happen. Nothing just happens. We have a devil to fight, and he wants a foothold in our lives, in our community. He wants to break this. Do you feel a community tonight? He wants to break. He hates this, what we're doing tonight. Remember the last message that I spoke about David serving with the ephod. Do you remember that? Wave to me if you remember it. He had no intention on fighting. Hear this now. He had no intention on going down and fighting Goliath. No intention whatsoever. If you read the story of David and Goliath, he went down there as a servant. He went down there with the ephod. My father told me to bring my brother's dinner. Goes down there, and the Holy Spirit works on his heart, works on his mind, and he begins to fight for something that he perceives to be his. And I would just want to point out something. David, the act of faith that he took that day. Think about what if he didn't do that. Think about if you don't fight for what's yours. Think about if you don't take authority over what's yours. Think about that. You have to fight for your family, man. You have to. You have to speak up at times. Not in a nasty way. Not in a rude way. But you have to at times. You have to speak up. He obeyed the Lord in the process and fought something. He fought something that the whole community around him wouldn't fight. Isn't that amazing? The ground, the authority, the region, the reach. He fought for the future of his family, his friends, and his community. Will you fight for something that God has entrusted you with? We oftentimes fight each other. The bait is Satan. The Bible says we struggle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers in dark places. Will you fight for what God has given you authority over? Let me quickly tonight. What time is it? I can't. Oh, it's 5:02. In 5 minutes, I'm going to put this text into context. Because some of you are sitting there right now going, what in the world does this text that he read to start with have to do with this? Do you remember the story of Jesus and the disciples sailing? The disciples waking Jesus up and saying, Master, Master, we are about to perish. The boat is filling with water. The wind is mighty. The storm is raging. Jesus arose, rebuked the wind and the waves. He rebuked the raging water and the storm ceased. And the scripture says it was calm. Then Jesus says to his disciples, where is your faith? This is where we pick up the scripture about the demon-possessed man. Jesus deals with the issue of the storm, sails from Galilee to the Gadareans by way of the Sea of Galilee. It's part of a 10 cities that were not Jewish. They were Gentile cities. Jesus purposely goes here. Why does he go here? To effect change. They were Gentile cities, not Jewish cities. When he steps off the boat, an ugly, gnarly, nasty demon, possessed man, runs up to him, falls at the feet of Jesus, and begins to worship him. Falls at the feet of Jesus. The demon-possessed man falls at the feet of Jesus and begins to worship him. Hear me just for another 4 minutes. He falls at the feet of Jesus. You ever see somebody worship? And you look at it. And you go, man, that's weird. That is strange. There's something not quite right about that. Someone walked in this church a year ago. I was leading worship. I had my eyes closed, and I, as real as anything, as real as I'm talking, I felt the Lord say, I felt in my spirit, the Lord impressing on my spirit, there's something weird. I opened my eye, and this woman was standing there staring at me. Kathy remembers the Sunday morning. Crazy, just really strange. Really, she began to, she was about to charge the platform. Somebody grabbed her. Weird worship. Demon-possessed man falls at the feet of Jesus. Weird worship. Demon-possessed man falls at the feet of Jesus. This is what he says next. Catch this now. He says, Son of God. Read the scripture. Read it. He falls at the feet of Jesus. He says, Son of God. He says, have mercy on me. Don't send me into the abyss. Crazy to me. Don't send me into this. Cast me in to the swine. The pigs are up on the mountain. This demon-possessed man says to Jesus, Son of God. Now, let me just point something out. Let me just real quickly. The disciples that were with Jesus, Pastor Pat, you can nod either way if I'm right or I'm wrong. They weren't even sure at that point that Jesus was the Son of God. The disciples, they weren't positive. What'd you say? They weren't even sure. The demon-possessed man from the Gadareans across the Sea of Galilee says to Jesus, Son of God. How's he know that? This is so good. He knows it because it's not him saying it. It's the demon through him saying it. Steps off the boat. Son of God. Disciples don't even know it. The demon knows it. The disciples don't know it. There's a conversation happening between the supernatural, another dimension, and these two men. And the disciples are standing there going, oh my God. Imagine them standing, Son of God. Demon possessed. What is your name? Jesus says. He says it's a legion. What does legion mean? There was many demons. He was possessed by many demons. Jesus cast the demons out of the man. The swine go running down the hill into the lake, and they die. Ryan, what's that have to do with what you're talking about? They sail across the Sea of Galilee from Galilee to another land, a new ground, a new area. They sail across, storm. God, what do we do? What do we do, God? What's happening? He says, he calms the sea. They pull up to shore, steps off, new ground, new territory, new mission field. St. Anthony's, new mission field, new area, new souls, new outreach, new hand, steps out, demon comes to his feet. Two miracles happen because Jesus decided, I'm not staying at this place. I'm going to minister to people who don't know Jesus. Not the four walls of this church. Not the city of Galilee. Not in the temple. He didn't go to the temple. Gets in a boat, sails to the other side, and begins to minister on new ground. And he gets attacked. I'm ending with this. He ministers to the man. Am I okay right now? He ministers to the man. The man goes to the city. Goes to the city, tells the people. And a great multitude comes to see the miracle. I have to tell someone here tonight other than myself. No devil, no raging sea, no issue, no problem, no mission field. Devil, raging sea, issues, frustration, problems. I can't do it anymore. I can't go any further. Mission field. Jesus performs a miracle at his new mission field. Something happens. Something happens in that moment. Goes and tells the great multitude. They come back and he ministers to a great multitude of people. That is, I believe, the season that this ministry is in. I started with it. Don't get discouraged. Don't stop pressing. Your life, don't stop pressing. Keep pushing. New ground, new influence, new authority, new responsibilities. God is doing something in the midst of us. I want to pray for two people, and then I'm going to end. I want to pray for the first person. You say, Ryan, I liked what you just said. Ryan, it was nice, but I'm frustrated because I believe what you're saying is true, but I don't have a mission field. I don't have new ground. I need it. I know that I need it. I know that I need to tell the city what Jesus has done to me, like the demon-possessed man, but I haven't done it. I want to pray for you. Second category of people I want to pray for. I want to pray for people who've been on the mission field. They've worked. They've labored. They've pressed. They've pushed. They've stayed consistent and persistent. But the demons have become so strong. I don't know how much more I can take. I don't know how much more I have. I want you to stand. If that either of those are you, I want you to stand. I'm not going to make you come down for the sake of time. I'm just going to pray for you. Come on and stand if that's you. There's more than two people. If this ministered to me, I'm sure that it's ministering to someone else in here. Let's pray together. Thank you for standing. Thank you. Lord, we just submit ourselves to you. We want to be used of you. We want to be your vessel. We want to be the people that you've called. Father, I ask for an explosion. Just an explosion. Just make an explosion of your goodwill happen in this place, ministering to people, touching people, loving people, caring for people, giving to people. Let it start in those who stand. We give you thanks tonight for your house. You are a good Father. You're perfect in all your ways, even when we don't see the end from the beginning. You're perfect in all your ways. We thank you tonight for the working of your Holy Spirit. We sent you right in this moment. We sent your Holy Spirit. We're just so thankful for it. Thank you for brothers and sisters and moms and dads and community in this place. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Give the Lord a praise, would you, tonight? Hallelujah. Did I say that my dad is in El Paso? Did I say that right? No, is El Paso is the way to pronounce it? He's in El Paso. He is with a great pastor there of a church with 30,000 people. I don't know. Huge ministry. Two ministries. One church of 30,000, another church, I don't know, 10, 15, 20,000 people. What's his name? Oh, Charles Neiman. Sorry, I should have asked you. Charles Neiman. He's being poured into. He's being ministered to. He's being filled up. So I know on Sunday, he's going to be like a sprinkler in here spraying at people. So be ready to receive of him. Thank you for coming out today. Those of you who came out, thanks, buddy, came out. And if I leave you with anything, begin to know your reach. Your influence is greater than you think it is. Amen. Love you guys.